During the founding era, a common phrase in the writings of sources of importance to the framers of America was, quote-unquote, life, liberty, and property. You can find this phrase in the writings of Sir William Blackstone and John Locke, I'm sure among others as well. Property rights are important because if you can't own your own property, you could essentially end up as a slave to the government. Well, fast forward to today, and we see how China, under communist leader Xi, is trying to bring back China to more full-blown communistic policies than some of his predecessors. We're going to talk about this right now with Stephen Mosher, who is the author of a book called The Devil and Communist China. The New York Post just excerpted a portion of this book in an article to which we'll link. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Stephen Mosher, who's the founder of Population Research Institute, back to the program. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here with you today.
Sure. So tell us about the book, Devil and Communist China. Why did you decide to write the book, The Devil and Communist China?
Well, you know, you began the program by talking about the founding of the United States and our founding principles. We had a great leader in George Washington and a group of brilliant men in the founding fathers who wrote some of the most magnificent documents ever to be struck off the mind of men, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. China had its evil opposite. China had a man, Mao Zedong, who always chose an evil, deceitful path in life, literally with almost without exception, and put in place a communist party political structure that literally is totalitarian and is striving even today for total control over everyone's lives, where they live, what they think, where they go, how they spend their money, and so forth. And, you know, it's interesting that the communist party in Chinese is called the Gongchandang, which literally means public property party. So it's the party where everything belongs to the state. And that's what China's leader, Xi Jinping, who models himself on Chairman Mao, one of the greatest mass murderers in human history. He models himself on Chairman Mao in all things. And he's driving towards total communism, towards the liquidation of the wealth creating class, towards the elimination of the private property sector that has accounted for China's rise over the last few decades and moving once again towards full-blown communism. And, you know, it's once more down the merry socialist road to ruin we go.
Well, okay, now is Mr. Qi living a real poor lifestyle with, you know, very little food, or how does he live?
Well, no, of course, Xi Jinping has access to every person, every product, every material good in China, just as Chairman Mao did. They have, the leaders of China have resorts everywhere in China. They have palatial residences in every one of China's provinces, for example. They can go anywhere, do anything, have anything for dinner. During the Great Famine in the early 1960s, when 50 million Chinese were starving to death, that's 50 million, 50 million.
And they were starving to death because of those policies, not because of, you know, some terrible thing that happened, you know, from nature or whatever. It was the communist policies that were being implemented, and then all these people were dying.
Exactly. There were no natural disasters. The only disaster was visited upon the Chinese people by Mao Zedong himself, Chairman Mao, who took the land from everybody, from all the farmers, and forced the farmers into huge collectives called communes, and put those communes under the supervision of Communist Party officials who had no idea how to farm, how to plant, how to sow, how to weed, how to harvest, and the crops failed. And people died as consequence in China, not from overpopulation, but from government mismanagement of the economy. And as they were dying, Chairman Mao simply shrugged and said, deaths have benefits. Their bodies fertilize the soil. He thought of his fellow Chinese dying by the millions as nothing more than human fertilizer, human compost. And he continued to live his lifestyle in his residence with his servants and his meals and his women and so forth.
You were saying that during the Great Famine, he was eating well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can see pictures of the time. He didn't have to tighten his belt at all. Even as the people in the cities were tightening their belt and the people in the villages were dying, there are entire villages today that don't exist because every living person in them died during the famine from 1960 to 1962. This total callousness towards human life, though, is typical of the communist leaders in China. And we see that today with Xi Jinping, who is trying to eliminate all minorities from China, for example, just to give an example of one of his crimes. He wants to eliminate the Uyghurs, the Tibetans, the Manchus, the Mongols from China, turn them all into Mandarin-speaking, docile, obedient Han Chinese in a generation.
Wow. And China has the desire to become, or the goal to become, the world's leading superpower and thus, you know, supersede America in that position.
Oh, absolutely. And the Chinese Communist Party and its leaders have realized from the beginning that they are in a fight to the death with democratic ideals, particularly with the United States of America. There's never been any doubt in their minds about that. In fact, Chairman Mao in 1958 set up an Earth Control Committee. An Earth Control Committee. When his economy was smaller than that of Italy's, he dreamed of controlling the entire Earth. Xi Jinping, the current leader, has a 100-year plan. He plans to dominate the world by 2049, dominate Asia by 2035, which is only a few years away now. And he's been working towards that goal. Americans need to understand that China is at war with us across all domains. We're not firing bullets or missiles at each other, of course, but they're sending fentanyl across our southern border to kill 100,000 young Americans every year, and they're profiting from it by laundering the money from the northern Mexico drug cartels. They released COVID on the world and killed Americans and destroyed our economy for a couple of years in consequence. That's chemical and biological warfare right there. We're at war in cyberspace, where they're constantly attacking our infrastructure, our cyber infrastructure. And so everywhere you look, you see China's hostile actions towards the United States, all aimed at one thing, aimed at replacing us as the dominant power in the world and really subjugating us and destroying our democracy from within. They have nothing but disdain for democracy. They call us a money bags democracy, and they think that by offering our politicians bags of money and perhaps drugs and honeypots as well, they can get whatever they want from the United States. And sadly, in some cases, that's proven to be true.
Tell us about TikTok.
TikTok is a mind game, a psyop carried out by the Chinese Communist Party against young people in the United States and Europe. And if you think that's an exaggeration, you need to go on TikTok in China, because TikTok in China is totally different than TikTok in the United States. There are no girly men on TikTok in China. There's no discussion of rainbow coalitions. Children on TikTok are limited in the number of hours they can be on TikTok, and they're encouraged on TikTok to study and to work hard and to get ahead in life and to otherwise improve themselves. They are not allowed to be exposed to the same kind of morally corruptive videos that constantly stream onto the phones of impressionable young Americans. And that difference is quite deliberate. They want to preserve their own culture and encourage their own young people to achieve something in life. They want to demoralize and confuse our own young people about some very basic things like the difference between men and women, for example.
Wow. A comment on the southern border, if you would, because there have been definitely Chinese, mostly men, I believe, that have gone through our poor southern border. Yeah, obviously, the current administration is not sealing the border, even though his officials say that it is sealed.
A couple of years ago, I believe the Chinese Communist Party made a strategic decision to allow tens of thousands of Chinese out of the country and use that flow of illegal immigrants across our southern border to send in potential terrorists, saboteurs, and spies. And so we've seen the numbers increase dramatically. The total number over the last 12 months, I believe, is close to 40,000. That doesn't include the gotaways, The people who got in where the Border Patrol didn't even see them, much less, you know, didn't have an opportunity to wave them in and allow them in. So what happens is the Chinese get across the border. They immediately drop their IDs, discard their IDs, and then they're invited. And this is up on the Chinese language websites for the Chinese embassy. They're invited to the consulates in Houston, if they're in Texas, or in Los Angeles or San Francisco in California, where they're issued new IDs by the Chinese government, which then establishes a new identity. In other words, we have not only have no idea who these people are, the Chinese government is giving them new identities. And of course, China knows who's allowed to leave their country, because you have to have a passport and an exit visa to get out of the country. And so China knows who these people are. They aren't telling us. So they give them new IDs. So, yeah, there are lots of young, very fit, military-age men coming across the border. Some are just desperate to get out of China. I grant you that. There's a huge pool of people in money in China that want to leave the country, that want to flee the country. These people are voting with their feet against communism. But among that crowd, among that flow, are people who do not wish us well. You know, and it wouldn't take more than a few hundred to completely cripple, I think, the infrastructure of this country on targeted attacks.
Man, this is scary. Buying up farmland in America is another Chinese plot, as I understand things.
Yeah, and the purchases of farmland are not at random. The purchases of farmland are very strategic. In other words, the farmland is being purchased that is near U.S. military bases, Air Force bases, predominantly, but also Army and Naval bases if they can get close enough. And so on this land, they're able to set up electronic eavesdropping equipment and find out what's going on the bases, picking up the electronic chatter. So this should not be allowed. Some states have now begun moving in the election in the direction of banning foreign nationals from hostile nations like China from buying farmland. The entire country should ban it. Why would we want to allow the Chinese Communist Party to set up a spy post just a few miles from one of our major bases? It makes no sense at all.
Wow. Well, a lot of these things don't make sense other than just look at the big picture. China wants to take over the world. Now, this is very interesting because at this very moment, apparently, according to your article, as we see in the New York Post, there are a lot of problems in China. So it's like, okay, here's China. They want to take over the world. And meanwhile, they can't even govern themselves. There's huge issues of unemployment, buildings that are empty, etc.
Well, Xi Jinping, the current leader, is a committed communist. He wants to move in the direction of public ownership of all the property. And so he's put a target on the back of entrepreneurs, of wealth creators, of capitalists. And he's also put political commissars on the boards of directors of all their companies. Now, if you've got a political commissar on your board, you no longer control your company because he's a representative of the party. What the party says goes. And of course, the political commissars have gotten greedy because now they think the best way for me to ensure that this capitalist does the party's bidding is for me to remove him, charge him with corruption, for example, have him arrested, executed, and then I'll take over his company. I'll expropriate his wealth. That's what's happening in China. The generation of wealth creators that grew up over the last 30, 40 years is now being eliminated one by one by party officials as China goes once more down the socialist road to ruin.
Wow. Okay, we have enough time for your website. It is pop.org. And I see we have a 15-second closing thought from Steve Mosher on China's threat.
The devil in communist China will tell you everything you need to know about why we need to preserve freedom in America and decouple from China forever.
POP.org. Steve Mosher, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.